Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. It's the mic to mic Friday. Turn off the music. We're all tossing and turning all night with the two. I don't have the right word to describe Obama and Holder other than two extremely dangerous men out to destroy America, controlling the country. Eric Holder, who was probably one of the most dangerous people who has ever occupied the Attorney General seat, said that the nation is a nation of cowards on race. He gave a Stalinist speech at a University of Virginia. He wouldn't take any questions from the audience nor from the reporters. The reporters are dead. He was asked if he would take back his remarks that the nation is a nation of cowards on racial issues. He took no questions. And then he went on to say that we're a nation of cowards. And he went on to say that he's out to change America for the better. And he said there are disproportionately negative impacts that we see on people of color, on women, he said. He has greatly expanded the range of race-related lawsuits filed against companies, schools, and governments since he was foisted upon us. He recently threatened to sue schools where African Americans are disciplined differently than Asian or white students. Now, they're not disciplined differently. They're disciplined the same. It's just that more blacks are disciplined, not for racial reasons, but because apparently there's a behavioral difference among students of Asian, white, and African heritage. But his agency has extracted billions of dollars in payments from banks after unintentional racial differences were detected in their lending patterns. He has rolled back drug penalties imposed on African Americans. He supports a reform of marijuana laws because they affect disproportionately as might African Americans. He also threatened to sue states if his deputies see a racial purpose behind voter ID laws that have already been approved by the Supreme Court. He's a law unto himself. He is now threatening new lawsuits because of the new diversity being foisted upon us by illegal immigration. Shall I go on? So I'll ask you a single question on Open Mic to Mic Friday. It's a very simple question, and it's just a very simple one. And it's related to this. In June, a poll by NBC and the Wall Street Journal reported that only 52% of whites and 38% of blacks have a favorable opinion of race relations in the country. That's a sharp drop from the beginning of Obama's seizure of power, when 79% of whites and 63% of blacks held a favorable view of American race relations. I will ask you, the Savage Nation audience, a simple question. Have race relations improved or gone backwards under Obama and Holder? Very simple question. I'll get any answer you want. Have race relations gone better or worse, gotten better or worse, under the Obama, Holder, seizure of power? How do you feel about that question? Now, this is not the only question I'm going to ask you today. National security is getting worse, not better. Yesterday, we spoke about how Obama has blatantly ignored the independent panel, which said that his spying was wrong and should be closed down at the NSA. He said, drop dead to the independent panel. The dictatorship continues to turn the screws on their controls. Now we hear today about government blimps that are being released around the country that will be able to see your car, I don't know, 50 miles, who knows? They could track your car now. So now they're not only spying on your movements outside the house and inside your house. What's next? Infrared cameras for the local police to see what you're doing inside your house? At the same time, this communist administration has been secretly working against, quote, capitalism. A senator named Schumer is trying to wipe out the Tea Party. A man like Schumer would have been happy in the Soviet Union, where he would have had more power. The administration works around the clock to polarize the nation. So, shall we stop there? Pope Francis, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think of him, the Pope's rhetoric is that of a Marxist. And I've spoken to Catholics who agree with me. What, because he's a Pope, he's holy, and he's above any questions? Are you people crazy? The Catholic Church was the strongest supporter of let us say, governments that permitted freedom, because freedom yielded freedom of religion. Now we have a Pope who grew up in South America when we had a family by the name of what? Does anyone remember the name of the family that was ruling his country when he was coming of age while he was still a bartender before he decided to put on the... You know, there was a book written by a great French writer in the 19th century entitled The Red and the Black. In France of that time, in the 1850s, the only way for a young man who was ambitious to get ahead was to choose either the red or the black. The red meaning the priesthood and the black meaning the military. Apparently, the bartender chose the red. So now the Marxist bartender is telling the world that anyone who has aspirations is evil, and anyone who's a bum and has no aspirations is good. Anyone who wins is good, anyone who loses is bad. I mean, turn it around. He's turned the whole world upside down, the Pope. So we got it coming from Holder, Obama, the Pope, the mayor of New York. When is it going to stop? When will this treasonous stream of vitriolic poison be countered by a strong opposition from the people themselves? I don't know. Will it ever? Pope Francis gave another speech to the Davos wealthy, and he told them basically they're no good. And he said modern business activity has led to a widespread social exclusion. Now, what does that mean, widespread social inclusion? We should take drug addicts and make them executives? What is he talking about? He's just gibberish. It's stupid, idiotic gibberish, trying to stir up the losers. Oh, there's so much more news here, but it's Rock and Roll Friday. Give me a break, for God's sakes. You know, give me a break here, because how much can a man take? I'll make it real simple for you.
Somewhere.
Have race relations improved or gotten worse under Obama Holder? 855-47282. We'll make it real simple. Then we have real soundbite, wonderful soundbites for you today on the Savage Nation, the best sound in radio. And that is John Boehner goes on to a television show because the Tea Party is trying to impeach him, throw him out, which I don't think is a good idea, by the way. He's horrible. But by bringing such scrutiny upon him, all you're doing is weakening the Republican Party even further. You'll make them worse, not better. I know what you want. Believe me, I wanted and been writing about it long before you were even able to write, most of you. I know what we want. But you should be going after Holder and Obama, not John Boehner. So Boehner says he learned how to deal with Congress by growing up in his father's bar as a bartender. And that's why I've been calling him Clink for a couple of years now. Run the clink sound just for the heck of it. And you know, that's the sound bite that's associated with our Speaker of the House. He said he grew up in his father's bar, and he said he had to learn. Well, listen to clip one, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I have 11 brothers and sisters, and my dad owned a bar.
Right.
And I tell people all the skills I need to do my job I learned growing up.
Right.
You know, I grew up in a big family. I have to learn to get along with each other, get things done together, get things done as a family. You grew up around a bar, I mopped floors, did dishes, waited tables, tended bar. And you have to learn to deal with every jackass who walks in the door.
Right.
He said jackass. Let's all laugh now, boys and girls. The speaker said the word jack on a television show. Hold up the laugh cards for the smart Americans. Who said, everybody laugh, he said a dirty word. What a great country. Now let's play clip three.
Three. Well, people think, all right, you're the speaker, you're the leader.
Yeah.
They don't realize I've got a lot of other roles that I play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some members I have to be the big brother figure.
Sure.
Some I have to be the father figure.
Right.
Others I have to be the dean of students or the principal.
Right. Yeah.
Some of them I have to be the Gestapo.
Right.
You know, I try to work with members on both sides of the aisle. We have 435 members of the House. It takes 218 to pass any bill.
Sure.
I like to describe my job as trying to get 218 frogs in the wheelbarrow long enough to pass a bill.
He said frogs in the wheelbarrow. He's so funny.
I wonder who wrote this garbage for him. Now, why do you think this jerk would be suddenly going on a television show? Because he's in trouble. So the PR agency that controls our country, God knows which one this is, I don't know, many of them, Said, all right, John, listen, you're going to have to work tonight. What? What do you mean? It's enough with the... I got the tanning bed after. No, you're going to have to give up your tanning bed tonight. We'll put makeup on you. You're going on with Jay Leno. No. All right, look, you have to do it, John. You're in trouble. Let's show a warmer, softer side. Yeah, John, you'll be on with them. We'll give you a script. Okay? That's all. The whole thing is a construct. Nothing is real. Absolutely nothing that you hear or see from the political world is real. It's all formulated in advance. And I don't care if it's Ted Cruz, the hero of talk radio. I'm going to make a prediction about Ted Cruz. I'll put myself out on a limb, and I'll say it to you right here on the Savage Nation. You want to hear it? Michelle Bachmann, Ted Cruz, same end. Flame out. And I'll tell you why when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your bad vibes on. Join me home. We'll have some fun.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. So Eric Holder gave a Stalinist speech at a university where he took no questions, saying America is still cowardly on race. Again, he is dividing and conquering. And I ask you the question, are race relations better or worse under Obama and Holder? I mean, the answer is built into the question, but I'll take your calls if they're intelligently stated. Let me read you what someone wrote. Man says, I agree with Holder. He said, I have been cowardly because I have not asked why it is okay to flaunt and promote the black caucus, black sororities, black social groups, and black professional groups, but it is not okay for whites to do so, while there are groups which are named and exclusive to Asians and Hispanics. He then says, but I have been cowardly by not having been outraged, alarmed, and appalled by the black-on-black violence, mayhem, and genocide in Holder's Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Oakland, L.A., and other cities. He then says, I agree with Holder. I've been cowardly by not asking why Mrs. Obama doesn't speak out against the horrific, profane, dirtbag, sexist, racist language black rappers use, some of which are guests at the White House. And he says, I admit I've been cowardly. And he goes on, because I refuse to ask why Holder refuses to interview, investigate, and prosecute those whites and blacks involved in the IRS persecution of conservatives, the whites and blacks involved in arming criminals with guns, and the misappropriation of billions of dollars by DOE given to what appears to be political cronies of the current Democrat administration. So someone wrote that. That's pretty harsh language, because it's actually not dirty, and it says something. It's not filled with a word, for example, that would get you on a night television show or your own reality show. It's too literate. It's too white when you think about it. See, if it doesn't have a curse word in it, it's really not ready for television. It doesn't have an alleged laugh line in it because it's not dirty. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. There's so many horrible things going on and you're not seeing them. Instead, we're watching waves in Hawaii and Half Moon Bay. The country is being flooded by drug addicts and drug addiction. You don't understand why all of a sudden marijuana is being legalized from Colorado to New York. You don't understand why all of a sudden the laws are suddenly being, quote, liberalized. It's a way of controlling the population. I mean, you can't put two and two together. It's very hard for you. You know, it's like a child who wants to eat candy. Even though they know it rots the teeth and the diabetes, the child will continue to eat the candy unless you take it away from him. So if there's enough children without any discipline to say, I want my candy, I want my candy, I want my candy, eventually just give them the candy. And, of course, they'll eat the candy like little rats in a maze, while the government gets to do anything it wants. So that's simple. You study governments, dictatorships, Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, even benign governments, not on that order, and you see how governments control people. When a government has no interest in democracy, that's what it does. This is a government that has no interest in democracy whatsoever. It has one interest only, and that is absolute and total ruthless control and power over every citizen. That is why John Boehner made a laughing stock of himself, I should say a further laughing stock of himself, by going on a television show last night and joking about his father's bar. It's to humanize him because he's not effective. He's not doing his job for the people. He's doing his job for the controllers. Don't make a mistake about it. John Boehner is doing his job very well. He's doing exactly what he's told to do by those who run the country. Do you understand what I just said to you? Of course you do. He's doing his job. How do you think he keeps this job? He's doing precisely what those who are flooding us with illegal aliens, flooding us with drugs, want him to do, which is to make certain that they can continue to flood the country with drugs, illegal aliens, change the demographics forever, so we become nothing but Mexico North, with people hanging from overhead passes and the butchering of police in every neighborhood. What do you think is going to happen when you flood the country with 60 million illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico? You think the country's going to get better or the country's going to get worse? What do you want me to do, mince words every day on the show? Take a look at the hellhole they're running from. Why are they running from that hellhole? Because it's such a paradise? Why are they running here? They're running here because they're getting a better life here. Are they going to bring us a better life, or are they going to take a better life from us? You want it clear as it is? There, I gave it to you clear as it is. What do you want me to do now? Mince words again? You can't mince words beyond a certain point, because then they have no meaning. They become unintelligible. The phrase mince words, you know what that means? Chop up the meaning of words into such small bits that you don't know what the person is saying. I am not a politician. I don't go on television shows. I don't appear on Jay Leno. I'm not allowed on Fox News. I'm not invited to Friends of Abe. I'm not a member of any of these front groups. I'm not a member of any group. I don't want to be a member of any group that would have me as a member. How's that? I'll do a Groucho Marx on you. I don't need them. They need me. I don't care whether I'm on a website or not on a website. It means nothing to me. Most of these people are in it only for the buck. And they tell you that they're on your side. They're full of it. They're in it for the buck. Even Glenn Beck, the hemorrhoid with eyes. Did you hear what he said yesterday, your hero? Glenn Beck, the Marjo of our time. He's sorry for dividing the nation. Can you believe that you'd wake up to see this? Yes. He's O'Reilly. Well, let me just, it's a family show, I can't say it. He's a hemorrhoid with eyes. One of the greatest con men in the history of the conservative movement, Glenn Beck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
To the heart of this country, one must examine its racial soul. Though this nation has proudly thought of itself as a ethnic melting pot, in things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards. This is truly sad.
That's from the top law enforcement officials in the United States of America. A nation of cowards, 2009. He said he would not take that back. In fact, he doubled down on it and attacked further against white people. Now, you have to ask yourself what these revolutionaries are doing in every pocket of the country. Front page, New York Times. You've seen it yesterday. As seen in Goodfellas, arrest made in 78 Lufthansa robbery. So the FBI, the brave FBI, goes after a 78-year-old Italian man named Vincent Acero, who they said he played a role in the Lufthansa robbery 35 years ago. The brave FBI agents, big strapping men, taking a 78-year-old Italian-American on a crime that was allegedly committed 35 years ago. The brave FBI did not stop the Boston Marathon bombing and four other terrorist events in our period of time. But they have the resources to worry about the Lufthansa heist? You have to ask yourself if their priorities are in the right order here. 35 years later, federal authorities on Thursday charged a 78-year-old man, Vincent Acero, with playing a role in the robbery, saying they had four cooperating witnesses from organized crime families who linked Mr. Acero, reputed capo in the Bonanno crime family, to the robbery. Wow, that's very brave. That's like a cop pulling over a soccer mom who's going 4 miles an hour over the speed limit. That's a very brave indictment there. You don't want to look into any Muslims or maybe plotting to set off a nuclear bomb in America. That may, you know, could lose your job that way. I wonder, did you think that they used any kind of ethnic profiling to find Mr. Acero? You think they looked for him in an Italian-American community? Or do you think it was a random search from NSA files that turned up the heat on Mr. Acero? Do you think that they racially profiled Mr. Acero, ethnically profiled Mr. Acero, focused on him because he's of Italian-American descent? I know that they're not allowed to do it under Eric Holder, but they did it to this Italian-American man. Guilty or innocent, they must have used some kind of profiling. Let's see, his name ends in a vowel, Acero. He's of Italian descent, lives in an Italian community in Brooklyn, New York, and he was allegedly involved with other characters in the crime business. So let's see. Let's take 35 years to get to the bottom of that crime, while around the nation, crimes are booming. Booming. So here we are. Yeah, we're all cowards, by the way. In one sense, Holder is right. We're cowards for putting up with him and Obama. That makes us the biggest cowards on earth. That's the dirtiest secret of all. He's right. We are cowards. These jackals will stop at nothing as they transform America, rewrite American history, foment racial and class warfare, essentially Alinsky's rules for radicals. And this is a result of our cowardice. I wrote it for you in Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. Some of you got it. Some of you didn't. You're listening to the Savage Nation. I'll take your calls in a minute. I need to cool down. I'm not going to apologize for cleaning out my jets in the piece I did before the break when I started to get very hot under the collar. It's like running a race car. You know, I run it at 55, 60 miles an hour sometimes during the week, maybe 68, 70 to preserve the engine. But, you know, every once in a while I got to open her up around the turn, which I just did. I mean, you let the pipe sit too long and the fuel starts to turn to a kind of rubbery substance inside the pipes, inside all of the hoses, the carburetors, the fuel injectors, whatever you have in there. You have to open up the apertures every once in a while. So the reason I am an outsider is because I'm an outsider. I choose to be an outsider. I work alone. I have wonderful guys at work. I never see them. I have a remote crew. Great guys. But the thing is, I don't get invited to give any speeches. I don't want to. I'm not a member of any organization. I'm not invited to the State of the Union. I'm not invited to the Friends of Abe. No, the Hollywood people don't want anything to do with me. Even I don't want to use the right word. I would say the Murano conservatives in Hollywood. That's how I define them. You know, either you're a conservative or you're not. They have to hide from who? Harvey Weinstein? What is he, God? You're afraid of Harvey Weinstein? Okay, they're afraid of Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Katzenberg. I get it. Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, Katzenberg, and Weinberg, and Weinstein run Hollywood. Now, I'm not doing any kind of ethnic connection there. It's just that they run Hollywood. There are men named Katzenberg. There are men named Spielberg. There are named Weinstein. What do you want me to do? Okay, I'll say Scorsese, I'll throw in, so I can't be typecast. Instead of saying Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Ratzenberg, I'll change it. It'll be Katzenberg, Spielberg, Weinstein, and Scorsese. That'll take the heat off me. There, I'll change it. It's very hard, though. It doesn't rhyme. And there's no iambic pentameter. I only do it for artistic purposes, by the way. So I sit here as an ordinary American who's been around a while. I've been through a number of things up and down. Can't complain, won't complain, worked for what I have. Want to hold on to what I have. I don't want to give up any more of what's taken from me by the city, state, and federal governments and local governments. Every time I buy a marshmallow, I got to kick money up to the thieves and bums who do nothing but punch a clock in order to collect a pension, the thieves and bums who don't let a neighbor put up a fence without a thief or a bum demanding a $7,000 permit in this communist county of Marin. You can't put a water faucet on without one of these communist bums worrying about giving you 10 permits. It's worse than it was under a dictatorship in Panama. Believe me, I've talked to people who've lived under the dictatorship in Panama. He said it was easier to do business under Noriega when you had only one corrupt official come around than under democracy when you have 20 corrupt officials coming around called zoning and this and this zoning, a green commissioner. You ever build anything in this county, you can't believe it. There's 20 different inspectors come around, all grifters, every last one of them. Every one of them a socialist mite on the hide of a cow. That's all they are. Probably with some rotten college degree that didn't permit them to get anything but a bureaucratic job. A green, they have a green inspector now. Every property has to have a green inspector come around. Yeah, well, he's inspecting only for the green. So there's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot of angst in the land because of this creeping noose that's creeping around all of our necks. And no one is fighting back. Just when we thought we were going to have someone fight back, say one word, they take this guy Boehner. You know, I didn't know he was a bartender. His father owned the bar when I started calling him Clink 2 years ago. And I, you know, seriously, it was pure intuition. I used to call him Clink and say, come on, John, get out of the cloakroom, and we would drop the ice cubes. I didn't know till last night he actually grew up in a bar. I didn't. Who wrote this for him? Sometimes I have to be a big brother figure, the father figure, the dean of student. He didn't write this. Yeah, this is college level writing. Now wait, it gets even better. So the spies send them on the show to defend the NSA. That was his real job. It was to first show he's human, like they told us, like Obama said, the spies are our friends and neighbors, which they are. I said to you, the Soviet Union, they were the friends and neighbors of those they killed. In Germany, they were the friends and neighbors of the Germans, who they put into the death camps. And, of course, in Cambodia, they were the friends and neighbors of the Cambodians who were put into the killing fields. So after being told by Obama the people spying on us are our friends and neighbors, they send out the Speaker of the House, to tell us this in clip six. You cannot believe this.
The NSA is there to keep Americans safe here and abroad. They've got a big job to do. We're going to take a look at what needs to be tweaked.
Israel spies on us. We spy on everybody else. That's right.
And they
Jay. Jay, how does it feel to be a little stooge of the government, Jay? How does a dumb man like Jay Leno wind up with such a big car collection? Because he's part of the CIA government media complex. Don't you understand how it works, boys and girls? Ooh, the Israelis spy on us, right, John?
See, he forgot that. They gave John the script to say how good the NSA is, and he left out one line. So Jay Leno...
The Israeli spiners, don't they, John? Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
So now you understand how he gets the car collection. If you're a useful, let's say, tool of the power structure, you move to the top of the class, which means I will never move to the top of the class, I can guarantee you. I run every show as though it's my last. I speak every day as though it's my last show because it could be. I don't know. What do I know? What's coming tomorrow? I know the noose is tightening on all of us. When I see that the living hemorrhoid, who is probably one of the most deceitful people in the history of the media, Glenn Beck, this guy Marjo, if you ever saw the movie Marjo, you know what I'm talking about. There was actually a better movie about him done years ago with Andy Griffith about a preacher, a fake preacher, who wins crowds over with his great, you know, rhetorical skills. Now all of a sudden we wake up and you say, wait a minute, Glenn Beck's saying I'm sorry for dividing the nation? How'd that happen? Why did he do that? It's simple. His company is in New York City. New York City's been taken over by a Sandinista. So he's afraid that the Sandinista head of New York City is liable to squeeze him a little bit on something with, you know, more taxes, this and that. God knows what. That's my estimation. How else do you explain it? How else do you explain that Marjo would say a thing like this? I make no apologies for fighting the divisiveness in America. And I make no apologies for having written books such as The Enemy Within, Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny, A Time for War. I make no apologies for trying to warn you about what was going on. I didn't win. I had no effect. I will tell you that. I'm sad that after all these years of working to try to stop this tide of left-wing fanaticism, that the opposite has occurred. I'm sad. I apologize to you for that. But I did the best that one man could do. I couldn't do any more. I tried to warn you. But because you believe those who ridiculed me, because you believe those who ostracized me, but because you believe those who said things about me that were untrue, I had no effect whatsoever. Had you understood that I was the Paul Revere of my time, going back to 94, long before old Rushbow, El Rushbow, created the hat with the T, whatever he's doing now, the children's book. Next it'll be a pair of sandals, the conservative sandals, and walking in the footsteps of Jesus with his footprint in it. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. He could put out a Rushbow sandal that matches Jesus' footprints in the sands of time. That's not a bad idea. Many of you will buy it. And, you know, you'll buy that too. The sandals, the Jesus sandals, are coming next from Rush. Because men like him, who were a member of the cabal that excluded Michael Savage, my message was limited to a certain small number of people, which may have been 8 to 10 million on radio. I don't know what it was. It could have been much bigger. At the peak of my show, when I was at the peak, I will probably have a much higher audience in a year on radio if I'm still on the radio, because I'm on much better stations in drive time on the East Coast. But at the peak in the other time slot, I was at 8 to 10 reportedly. So it could have been 20 million because of those you couldn't report, like internet users today. Who knows how many, you know, listeners are. But apparently it didn't have the impact I hoped it would have. So I apologize to you, not for dividing the nation, but trying to save the nation of failing. I did the most I could. And when I speak to people, I say, basically, I've done all I can. I can't do anymore. I've got one or two more books left in me. I told you what I'm working on. It's not even available, so don't accuse me of self-serving here. Mark it down in your head. I told my publisher to put it up on Amazon. They're not doing it. It's too far ahead. It's called The Coming Civil War. Basically, how to stop it with the savage truth. My last nonfiction book of a political nature. I will not write any more. I'm not swearing that, but I'm not going to. That will be my last. That's my swan song. That's the last chance we have, is just before the election. And then I'm working on one more novel with Jack Hatfield, and I'm going to tell you it's the end. Jack Hatfield, I may kill him off after this book. I may have to kill him. But in the next book, it's such a great plot. I may have him. Well, I'm going to stop right there. That's it. Then it's going to be books about dogs or something. And books about the bay and seals and birds, water, foods, nutrition. I don't know. Maybe I'll go back into the jungles and start collecting plants and never be heard from again. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The NSA is there to keep Americans safe, here and abroad. They've got a big job to do. We're going to take a look at what needs to be tweaked.
Israel spies on us. We spy on them. That's right.
And they all spy on us. Right. So let's just get over it.
Right.
Yeah. Been going on for thousands of years.
Hey, boys and girls, honk the nose. Time to clap. Druggies clap. You want to go to a TV show and sit in the audience?
My knee.
Great pretender, John Boehner. Who believed the word he said? Who believes him any day of the week? But the news, the entertainment business, all the same. News and entertainment. News and entertainment. So he's in trouble. He has to defend the NSA. They take him off the tanning bed and tell him he's got to leave the clinking for a while and go on to the clown show, the car lover show. And there it is. The late night drug addicts watch the show, I guess. Who watches that show? Do you know anybody who watches that show? I don't know where they get ratings from. Someone must watch it. Are you telling me the average person who makes an actual living would stay up at night to watch The Car Collector tell stale jokes written for him by much more intelligent people? Who would sit and watch these shows? Would have nothing better to do. If you work all day and you come home and you have a family, do you have time? You can't wait till 11 o'clock at night to watch the Car Collector? It's unbelievable. Who watches the show? It has to be drug addicts and welfare recipients who don't work for a living. I swear to God, I swear on your life, that I've never watched the show. I've scanned it. I know who he is. I've seen him at car collector shows. You know, he's showing off his cars, and I love cars. I've never watched the show. Why would I turn to a guy like that with stale jokes written for him by much more intelligent people with, big eyeglasses? What am I going to get out of that? All right, look, it's time for you to talk. We've talked about Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, Weinstein, and Scorsese. We've talked about, everything under the sun. I've asked you the leading question of the day. Look at this stupid article. They arrest a Lufthansa heist. Ooh, the last good fella. Ooh, look at the brave FBI. Look at that. They got him now, 35 years later. No infiltration. No. We don't know anything about the Boston Marathon bombing. But we got that old Italian guy. He committed the Lufthansa heist. You remember that movie? Remember that one? Oh, he did it. Ooh. Ooh, they're real brave. Look at them. They racially profiled them in the Italian neighborhood. They're really brave under... Oh, what an administration. 35-year-old Italian crime.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And- And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. We're talking about the Ponzi scheme called the Obama administration. They got the enforcer in the form of Eric Holder, who throws us off by talking about race relations. And a complete staff of lieutenants, generals, field marshals. Meanwhile, the pyramid scheme continues to take all the money up to the top and disperse it amongst the supporters. It's all fantasy. I don't mean a word I just said. Pardon me for dividing America with the truth. And I really apologize for seeing things as they are. I'm sorry that God gave me the ability to see through every lie on the planet. And I'm apologetic that I'm able to see these things. And I'm apologetic that I'm able to say these things. I'm extremely apologetic that you listen to me. You shouldn't really listen to me. Just because the world of politics is filled with rapacious beasts that devour everything we hold dear doesn't mean we have the right to talk about them. Left, right, center, media, left, right, and center, conservative, liberal, centrist, you name it. Everywhere you turn it is the same thing, one way or the other. And it's all about the greenbacks. So years ago, I wrote a book called The Political Zoo. Probably not even available. It's too good, so it didn't sell that well. It's probably one of my best books. And you got to understand, in that book, I made a lot of enemies on the conservative side. Bill O'Reilly banned me from Fox News, I think, because of that, because I called him a leprechaun. So don't think I picked on Rudy Giuliani. He never liked me again. As you well know, he's a friend of the banger. John McCain was linked up with Harry Reid. Bill Richardson was linked up with Chuck Schumer and Al Sharpton. Howard Stern was put in the same league as Ted Turner. George Soros is on the same page as Sean Penn. So it wasn't just about liberals. Hold on, I got to sneeze. I knew it. It's those damn grapes from Chile. They're unorganic, full of chemicals. It's the most dangerous thing I did in the last 24 hours was eat non-organic grapes. Last night I lived very dangerously. I ate egg salad. It was the last most dangerous thing I did in my boring life. I choose it. I want to live like this. My life's been too dangerous up until now. It reminds me of a great explorer I once hero worshipped. In his later years, he became extremely careful about his goings and comings. Actually, it was Charles Lindbergh. I read his biography many years ago. I was very impressed. Here's a man who flew across the Atlantic before anyone had ever done it in a single-engine plane, right? In his latter years, he would go as slowly as possible as he approached the red light. You know, one of those guys who stops before the light turns red, I hate them. I hate them, those timid drivers. I haven't yet reached that point. But even Lindbergh got there. Because as you get older, you realize how dangerous things really are. You know what I'm saying? When you're young, you just throw caution to the wind. Now I realize that you can't you just say anything you want, because you can wind up on radio, and the next thing you know, you can wind up off radio. George W. Bush, for example, in my book, The Political Zoo, I satirized him. See, in the book, The Political Zoo, what I did was, because of my background in science, I gave each character a binomial name, a Latin name, a genus and species, right? And I gave them an affectionate animal name. So I called George W. Bush the Texas Bumblebee, and I gave him the Latin name Stingus Bumblus. I thought it was a funny book. I was nice to him. Actually, looking back, Bush was a really great president compared to what we have now. The race relations were better under him. National security was better under him. He was a fiscal socialist. He started the ball rolling. But on the other levels, I mean, I slept better at night with Bush in the White House. And then there were others in the book that you may... Today, are they still around, these people? I'll do the news today in a minute. Let's pick a character. I'll tell you what I wrote about him. To show you it wasn't just about leftists. By the way, no one ever heard of Obama at the time I wrote the book. He wasn't even known. To show you how important he is as an American figure. In 2006, no one ever heard of Barack Obama, yet he was made into a president overnight. Isn't that great? You know, in America, when I was a kid, I was told in America, anyone can become president. And, of course, Obama's proven that. So in the book, for example, let's see, I'll pick someone that you may to see that I'm a bipartisan satirist. And you got to understand something. It was written in 1681 by John Dryden. The following was written: the true end of satire is the amendment of vice by correction. And he who writes honestly is no more an enemy to the offender than the physician to the patient when he prescribes harsh remedies to an inveterate disease. So that's why I called O'Reilly the leprechaun. And I pictured him with a loofah, because at that time that was the correct symbolism. Let me go to O'Reilly just for the heck of it. I may as well make another enemy on the right as fast as I can. Let's pick on someone other than him. John McCain. O'Reilly's insignificant these days. He lost his radio show because no one listened to it, for the same reason that Wallbanger was basically taken off all of these great stations for promoting his TV show and his radio show. I mean, if you're going to use radio to promote a TV show, who's going to listen to you? It becomes just one gigantic infomercial. So he lost 52 of the best stations in the country, no matter what he may say. That's what happened. And O'Reilly gave it up smartly, by the way. He does very well as a front man for Murdoch on the Fox News. And every once in a while, he pretends that he's, you know, got conservative leanings. That keeps his creds going. Meanwhile, he's got his eye on the network job, as does the hem. So Bill O'Reilly, I called lecherous leprechaunus. Top mammal in the Fox News pundit cage, the American porcupine, is a large terrestrial rodent, well protected by its prickly exterior. When challenged, it erects its quills, swings its stout tail, and threatens to release the barbed tips into challenger's skin. Known for its grunting or groaning delivery, the porcupine is active mainly at night and is found occasionally on televisions in the sagebrush plains of the West. Also, according to legal filings that was settled, the American porcupine will occasionally try to find cable station staff willing to play games like Fetch the Loofah as part... Now I understand why I'm not on Fox News. As part of its bizarre mating ritual. No, at least I figured that one out. Now I understand why I'm banned from Fox News. I really didn't know. I didn't know why. Let me pick one more. I'm just in a fun mood. Kim Jong-il was in here. Minnie Maoyan. The short-necked salamander, Minnie Maoyan. That was the dad. That was Dennis Rodman's friend's father was in here, that nut. Newt Gingrich, I really reserved a lot of vitriol for Newt Gingrich. But let's leave him alone. Let's just look at the left. Dianne Feinstein, I made her into a red heron. I called her the Frisco red heron. Mao Zedongus. The Frisco red heron is a standout bird known for its heroic migration. The famed long flight from the Bay Area to the Chinese homeland during the annual August congressional recess to meet up with its mate. In China, it is known as the hidden dragon heron and is kept as a pet by many higher-up Chinese Communist Party officials. The red heron is particularly possessive about its privacy and property and can regularly be spotted clucking for its collectivist caucuses, though it readily invades all other birds' habitats as it feels necessity warrants. So as a result of the book, she became the chairman of the Senate. Now, she's in charge of the entire nation's security. Did you believe this? Instead of my book having the effect it was supposed to have had, right, she went higher up rather than lower down. You get it? So nothing worked. O'Reilly became more powerful. Feinstein became more powerful. And so I apologize for not having the effect I wanted to have. Jesse Jackson is in here. Let's see what I gave him a moniker. Extortus exploitus, the reverend vulture, a well-heeled, well-dressed scavenger in sheep's clothing that feeds off the death and decay in the political jungle. Ooh, how can you say that about such a sacred reverend? Okay, one more. Bill Clinton, the celebrated Arkansas werewolf. I called him Fondlum Ungropium. Fondlum Ungropium. You know, this is an American classic. It's a shame it isn't reprinted. It's good. Well, Dick Cheney was called Halliburtoni Honcho. The Wyoming Walrus. Dick Cheney, Halliburtoni Honcho. That's my botanical Latin coming to say. Jimmy Carter, Marxist Peanut Farm Era. Jimmy Carter, the Big-Toothed Muskrat. Marxist Peanut Farm Era. It's pretty good, actually. The Screeching Weasel is Bill Maher, Loudmouthus liberalitis. The Southern California screeching weasel, Bill Maher, is a timid but noisy creature keen on annoying many of the other animals in the zoo. Although often posing as a predator, this weak, mostly herbivorous rodent has tiny teeth, no claws, shrunken reproductive organs, and wholly relies on the support of more productive animals for its meager existence. Its natural habitat is primarily the dark and smoky corners of little minds. But it has been known to venture into the light of respectable discourse until frightened back into its hole by bigger, more intelligent species. Its mating habits consist of non-committal relationships with exhibitionist females. Because of its failure to either willfully or successfully reproduce, this pathetic little creature faces extinction. How's that, Bill? Put that in your measly little pipe and smoke it, Bill. The day you come out and actually take an interview with someone who can challenge you is the day I'll respect anything you have to say, you HBO frontman, you. I'm enjoying this. I think I'm going to continue. Not do any news for a minute. I'm going to do one more. Al Sharpton, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chuck. Oh, Schumer. Okay, Schumer's in the news. So he's going to play Schumer attacking anyone who wants to work for a living at Clip 9. Then I'll read what I wrote about Schumer.
These people are wealthy, hard right, narrow, people who don't want to pay taxes. And don't want government interfering with their companies,
Shut up, you donkey. Shut up, you donkey. We pay more taxes than you do, you fraud, you. You sheep's head-based squirrel. Chuck Schumer, I reserved a special name for him. I called him the Brooklyn Jackass. And his Latin binomial was Gotham Pushus. And here's what I wrote in 06. The Brooklyn Jackass is an obstinate and excessively loud beast of burden that was removed from the petting zoo by veterinarians for turning overly red when petted. One should approach this braying creature cautiously. If it is near a camera, be particularly careful. Never place yourself between the ass and the lens. A particularly volatile animal, the Brooklyn Jackass has to shift its position when exposed to lighter heat. It is closely related to the dumbass and often carries out the simplest tasks ass backwards. Not related as something to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I hope I didn't say anything illegal in radio. Am I allowed to use that word? I don't know. Well, Boehner used Jack A on the air. So I hope I didn't violate any rules. Who knows? The FBI could come see me for saying that Schumer is a Jack A. Then there was Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you think I'm just attacking the left, you're wrong. This is why I'm loved so much by the conservative media. That's why you see me all the time on the Drudge Report. Chuck Schumer, Gotham Pushes, but at the time, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator Strudelhead. That's a laugh. The Terminator Rhino, Terminator Strudelhead. Or Rhino, Republican in name only. 2006. And you think that all this stuff is new. You think because they use it with like a harsh voice, they invented it? Rhino. Like they invented it. There hasn't been a term invented by anyone in the history of radio other than me. I invented all the terms. They're using them. So enjoy it while you can. It is 18 minutes after the hour, almost 19. Wait a minute. Got to put my glass. Oh, my God. It's 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
So, Holder says we're cowards on race. And I asked the simple question at the beginning of the show, are race relations better or worse under Holder and Obama? I mean, the question's loaded with the answer. Every poll says the same thing. They've come to power based on race. They maintain power based on race. And they continue to divide us. Duh. What do you have to call on that for? It's so apparent to anybody except Jay Leno and John Boehner. So why even answer the question? But playing that rock and roll song brings me back to something in my boyhood. You know, I am a white boy. I am of European American heritage, racially. And when I grew up as a kid in Queens, New York, we loved rock and roll, as you can imagine. And there used to be great rock and roll shows up in the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Harlem at the time was basically an all-black neighborhood. You say, oh, how could you go there? Well, we went there. There were never any race wars. The audience was filled with black kids and white kids, and we all screamed because we loved music. No one knifed each other. No one stabbed each other. Nobody shot each other. No one punched each other. There were no gold teeth. There were no gold chains. How is that possible that after the liberal revolution of the Johnson administration, everything got worse? How is it that after the Great Society, and now under Obama, the races are at each other's throats? How is that possible? I'll let you figure it out. See, that's the whole world of America in one song. That's all. I'm talking about what I felt in my country at that time. How come I could go to Harlem and not get in trouble? How come? But now now it's so divided. Would you dare go into an all-black neighborhood if you're white? Or if you're black, would you go into an all-white neighborhood? Ask yourself that question. Well, I think the answers are pretty obvious to those questions. And, of course, they're loaded questions. But Obama and Holder live on this issue. That's why they won't take any questions on it. They only make comments on it. Look, another break is coming up. Be with me, well, whatever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
Oh, what a world. It's fun. It's fun to live in this world. It's good to live in interesting times, said the ancient Greek philosophers. And boy, were they right. Here, open up the local website, right? The San Francisco website. I've never seen anything like it in my life. The country is surrounded by corruption and scandals, and they're talking about where to go in Carmel. Visiting Carmel, luxury and budget travel ideas. Carmel's upscale vibe doesn't have to translate to your wallet. Suppose if you go there, you could see Clint Eastwood drooling in a golf cart. Make my day. Go ahead, make my day. Unbelievable to me. Why do people go to like places like that for to see a celebrity in a golf cart? Hair trends. Never too young to go gray. Gray is known as the hardest color for stylists to make. I don't understand that. Tomorrow I have a team coming out to photograph me, which I've been resisting like a child going to the dentist. The publisher for the new book insists on a new picture. They don't want the microphone picture. They don't want the other picture. They don't want this picture. There's dozens of different renditions of me. I've been begging them to use it. No, we need our own cover. Okay, fine. It's their money. So they're sending a photographer out and the art director and a makeup person, which I detest. Absolutely detest any of this. I'm not mad at them personally. I don't know them. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm dreading it. I don't like makeup. I don't like posing. I don't like that much scrutiny. I don't even like looking at myself in the mirror when I shave for too long. You know, I got to tell you something, though. My eyes, they're not bloodshot anymore. I'm looking underneath, you know, like the black, puffy. It's gone. I'm leading a very clean life. It's worrisome. I look younger than I did 20 years ago. But anyway, they're doing a picture of me tomorrow. So I'm going to say to them, look, because I had it with a photographer last Monday who was going to sculpt me, but then that's not going to happen. I said to him, look, you want to do the portrait of Dorian Gray, leave out the gray and do more Dorian and less gray. I thought that was a funny line. Phil liked that line. It was funny. It's true. I'm going to color my hair tomorrow. So look, guys, it's Friday. We're supposed to relax a little bit. It's very hard when you have such an electrifying series of racists jabbing us in the guts every day with their hate in order to keep us off their tracks. That's what it's all about. All I got to do is give speeches about racism, and then you don't look at what they're actually doing with the billions and trillions of dollars that are going up in smoke. That's all. SF's year-end condo price is up. Ugh. $55 million Connecticut equestrian estate hits the market. $55 million Connecticut equestrian estate. Equestrian estate. I never wanted to own a horse ranch. I like horses, but I have enough trouble taking care of a 10-pound poodle. I can't imagine taking care of a 1,500-pound stallion. But this dog, one dog, every minute it's something with a dog. And he's not a bad one. Every minute it's something. Let him out, bring him in. Feed him, then let him out so he doesn't make in the house. He's very well trained. The minute I feed him, he goes to the screen door to go out. He's so controlled. But then I have to close it or the mice come in. Right? So now it's a triple visit to the door. One, let him out. Close the door so the mice don't come in while I'm doing something in the house. Then I have to wait for him to stand at the door. And he sits there. He doesn't even bark. He sits like a little stoic little guy waiting for me to find him. Sad, like on a cold morning, he looks through the glass door. They're so beautiful. So God-made dogs. What kind of culture eats them? It shows you what they are. Underneath the surface of the myth of the third world. Any culture that eats a dog. Okay, I could finish that sentence if I was on stage. It would have to do with Harry Truman. Here are the worst 15 human foods for your dog. Chocolate, grapes, macadamia nuts, garlic and onions, avocado, alcohol, uncooked bread dough, food that's gone bad or moldy, anything with caffeine, ice cream, bones, plums, raw eggs, raw meat, salt. Okay, well, I know that. I don't feed a dog any of that stuff. I don't feed him chocolate. What Eddie would feed him. This is the stuff that they feed a child in the morning. Okay, have a croissant and a coffee and then put him on Adderall. beautiful little children being destroyed by their dumb mothers in the suburbs. The mothers are no smarter than the kids. Idiots. All of the nutritional knowledge that we gained through 30, 40 years of struggle has been thrown out the window by the drug society. The mothers are dumber than the children. Put them on Adderall at 2 years of age. Ritalin. Have some chocolate, honey. It'll help you think. Grapes you can't give them. I like grapes, especially sensitive to grapes and raisins, can suffer kidney damage from eating the sweet food. Garlic and who would give a dog garlic and onions? Even my uncle wouldn't do that. Although it's rare for a dog to eat enough garlic and onions, you can even possible dangers is damaging their red blood cell production. A dog? Avocado contains persin, toxic to dogs. An avocado's no good for a dog. Does a chihuahua eat avocado? I need to know. I don't have a chihuahua. It's a very popular dog in certain parts of the country. Alcohol, all right. I don't give the dog alcohol, but he did grow up licking an occasional lick of red wine. One lick I'd give him. I dip it in the red wine, the Bordeaux he liked. He was my taster. He took one lick. He never died yet. He's 11. He could jump as high as a lynx. A beer he likes on a finger. One lick. Can I be arrested for saying I let my dog lick wine off my finger? Anything with caffeine in it. He likes a lick of coffee every now and again. Once in a while. Ice cream I wouldn't give him. I wouldn't give it to a child. Bones I wouldn't give him. They crack. Unless they're raw. You know that. You can give a dog a raw bone. But then plums? How can I give a dog a plum? A raw egg? Who'd eat a raw egg today with salmonella? Who eats raw meat but idiots in San Francisco thinking they're eating something, you know, authentic? Well, let me have that carpaccio. Stupid food trends. All right, let's take some calls. 87-acre estate in Richfield, Connecticut hits the market today asking $55 million for the chance to purchase a pony lover's paradise. I don't like big houses. I like a small cottage. You know that I'm uncomfortable in a big house? There's too many windows, doors. You got to think about them. Did you know that about me? I only like little houses. Like, I could afford a bigger house, but I live in a little one. I have a lot of different properties for safety's sake. I move around a lot. No one knows where I am each night because I don't know where I'm going to be. The one that's my favorite is a small little house, about 1,700 square feet. There's, you know what I'm saying? Because I like it. I understand the perimeters of the house. I'm another place somewhere that's vast. I don't go to it. Too many doors and windows. There's seven different areas to break in. And I just don't like the feeling of it. And I lay awake at night. I count the doors that are supposed to be locked. Then I count the windows that they could be broken into. This is much different here. You know, just like a little house is good. I don't like big house. Why does everyone think that if you have money, you have to have a big house or a big any? Why is big better? Isn't small good sometimes? Oh, speaking of houses, let me bring it back to politics. Many years ago, when I still talked to some of my neighbors, before I found out what they're really made of, even though I knew they were liberal, I didn't know they were this psycho. I was invited to a party once in the 10 years in which I live in this community. I made the mistake of going. So all these snotty liberals with the wine, the cheap, bad, you know, Chardonnay and whatever, da, 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 start to talk. They know I'm a conservative, so naturally you want to pick a fight with me. So we're talking, and I said, let me ask you something. Did you ever see the movie Dr. Zhivago? Yeah. What about it? I said, did you read the Pasternak novel? Well, let's see now. You live in a 4,000-square-foot, four-bedroom house, and your children have left the home. So you and your wife live in a bedroom. But what about those three bedrooms? Isn't that unequal? Don't you think that by your credo you should invite an illegal alien to live in one bedroom and that you should go over to the ghetto of Richmond and bring in some crack family to live in the other bedroom? And don't you think you should go down to the alcoholics drop-dead place here in San Francisco and bring in some bums in the other bedroom, and then maybe you guys should live on the lawn in a tent, because that would be real equality and real income redistribution, and that would make you feel better. And, of course, they never talked to me again because it made too much sense. But you see, all of this talk about income inequality and fairness, if this is not stopped, it ends up with Dr. Zhivago. It ends up with the state seizing your house and putting low-life filth in your house and making you the cook, the maid, and the chauffeur, if you're lucky, if you're not outright shot. That's where this ends up. And if you don't understand history, you, my friend, are condemned to repeat it. So you want to cut to the chase? I can tell you this. I could start talking about dogs and make it political, and I could start talking about houses and make it political. So if it looks like I'm just goofing around, you're wrong. my infidel friend. Now let's take some calls. Colorado Springs, Mark on KRDO. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. I'm honored to talk to you today. I wanted to thank you for being back on here in Colorado. I was out in Nevada and lost you for a while, and we've got you back. And I also want to thank you for your seriousness and the humor. The humor is exactly what we need right now. And the problem with America is we've all lost our sense of humor.
Yeah, well, I haven't lost it. In fact, the worse it gets, the more sardonic I get. And so, Mark, it's the last chance we have is to ridicule them, because it's all we've got is the power of satire.
But let me tell you this. You were never left alone on the hill from us out here in Colorado Springs. And maybe there was a lot of bozos that did leave you, but we never did. And I do want our country back, and I am fighting. I'm just a little, small little peanut over here in the screen.
No, hold on. You're not a peanut. Every man has the potential to revolutionize and save the country. If you start to talk about what's going on in the country on a supermarket line, you can do it quietly. Everywhere you go, you have to talk about how it's being, I hate to use the word, I almost said gang and followed it up with another word that starts with R and ends with D. If you talked about the corruption, if you talked about the spying, you'll be heard. I would say the way to cause the counter-revolution in this country is to talk only about the spying scandal. Because the liberals of all in this country are adamantly opposed to government intrusion on their private lives, and rightly so. They have a lot to hide. And so they are causing great distress to the Democrats. Benghazi means nothing to them. The IRS targeting conservatives they approve of. But the one thing where they're vulnerable is the spying scandal. And so I almost implore everyone listening to the show to talk as often as you can about, even in a nice way with a shrug, boy, I don't really like this spying of Obama. Do you like the way they spy on us? That's terrible. Let's see what happens. No one's going to support it. Nobody. Now let's take a few other calls. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Look, I got calls on all the big stations, ABC, MAL, KSFO. I got them all the big ones, all the big stations that Wallbanger was thrown off for being repetitive and simplistic and pumping his television show day and night. You don't want to turn on a radio show to hear someone promote a TV show. You feel used, don't you? Well, it's like cooking his own goose. It happened to O'Reilly. I mean, look, you can't do this business right unless you do either radio or TV. You can't do both. There are very few people who still do both, by the way. It's the greedy and the idiotic who do both. You say, oh, yeah, you just want a TV show. No, not true. Don't want one. I don't like makeup, don't like cameras, don't like neckties, don't like hairspray, don't like lights, don't like action, don't like camera. I love radio. I love the radio. I don't like television at all. Let's go to the next caller, Carolyn, on WJR in Ohio. What? WJR is not in Ohio. It's in Detroit, isn't it? But she's in Ohio. She's listening on the powerful five-state WJR. Carolyn, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I'm a new listener to you because, I used to listen to Wallbanger, and I turned it on this station one night, and there you were, so I've never heard of you. And, man, you make me think of my teachers back in the 50s and 60s, and I didn't grow up here, by the way. Those people made you think it actually hurt your brain. But I'm
That's
loving
right.
this. And I'll tell you, Michael, I came to this country and I thought, you know, this is what my father, he loved this country. You should be there. And, you know, it's the land of the free. I came here. I'm appalled at what I'm seeing, what's going on. I can't believe what's going on.
What, how Obama's spying on us and stealing our freedoms, telling us it's rain?
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
we understand. Most of us understand what he's doing to us. The problem is we have no opposition party. I love the new listeners who never heard Michael Savage. I'm sending you a free copy of my latest book called Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on Savage Nation. It is. Listen, tonight, big article coming out in Politico where they interviewed me and the Wallbanger. And apparently he cannot compete mentally with me, so he's trying to smear me, which he should be very cautious about doing. People have lost an awful lot of money and an awful lot of their careers. Careers have been destroyed through slander. It's one thing to ridicule somebody based on their talent or lack thereof, which I do. But if you start making things up and you can't support them, you lose a lot of money and you might even lose your entire enterprise. But then again, if your whole life has been spent in front of a camera reading other people's scripts, or and your hand has been only on a nail gun, you have to understand that you may make a mistake. You let your Irish ire get up there. And if you were a thug in the schoolyard who picked on little kids, I mean, you can't stop. If you kick people in the groin your whole life and pretend you're a good conservative, what happens is eventually it catches up with you. You can only wrap yourself in the flag for so long before the thuggishness starts to show through the stars and stripes. WABC, Stephen, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you. You had me laughing so hard before when you were reading that segment from your book with the genius names. And when you did the one for Schwarzenegger, I couldn't catch my breath for 5 minutes. I almost had to call an ambulance to...
Oh, yeah, that was a funny name. That was a funny binomial. Here's one I had for Barbara Streisand, the Streisand cow I called a bovine funrasium. Howard Stern I called Schlocko Jocko, a mutant strain of the Long Island parrot or lip, who was bred accidentally on one of the island's many toxic waste sites. It doesn't mean they're rich, not rich and famous. Some of the worst garbage in America rises to the top. In fact, if you go to a Coney Island at low tide, you know what floats, don't you?
Yeah.
It usually floats right to, the top. So don't associate making a lot of money with being somebody special. It's a Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. MichaelSavage.com. See you in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
If you're not going to discuss the issues, there's no reason for you to be in talk radio.
You may as well continue to do stand-up on Fox News.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number three of the Savage Nation for this Friday, the 24th of January in the year of our Lord, 2014. Welcome back to the program. Now, there's a breaking story about the media that I have to tell you about, and that is this. Politico interviewed me a day or so ago, and they then went to interview the wallbanger. Apparently, the article will be out as I speak tonight. I don't know when. Politico is going to release the article tonight. I don't know what they were going to write. I didn't tell them what to write. I know the game. I know Politico is sort of to the left of center, but I figured, look, I can speak for myself, and usually when the people listen to me, they actually hear me and they like me. That's what happened with the New Yorker. That's what happened with the Daily News. When they actually listen to Michael Savage, they come to like me because they hear what I'm saying. They like the versatility. They like the intellect. They like my humor. Okay, so then they went and talked to Wallbanger, and here's what happened. I'm going to read you the article. He just counterattacked ahead because he refused to let them run any interview with him because he wanted to control the editing process. In other words, he's more maniacal than Obama. Obama may use a teleprompter, but the wallbanger is so thin-skinned and stupid that he actually told a reporter for Politico they can't run any of his comments because he wanted final control of what was said about him. Can you believe this? So I want to tell you something, and I want you to mark this down. Everything that Hannity says about Obama is true about him. And by the way, most of what the so-called right wing says about the Democrats is a mirror reflection of what they themselves are doing. Make no mistake about it. It's a very thin line that we all walk on, and many people don't even understand what they're doing. And especially a guy of such thin skin who's had it all to himself all these years. Remember, he never had any competition. Now that he has competition, he's freaking out. So listen to this. He goes to his friends at Breitbart. Breitbart is run by some of the worst people on the planet. They're not Andrew Breitbart. It was taken over by a bunch of shrill thieves, in my opinion, one of whom is a lawyer who used to work for the former syndicator, with whom I had a long lawsuit. This guy is one of the lowest scum on the planet, this lawyer. And I told my lawyer that this man was a dangerous, evil man. I'll let you know who he is one day. So Hannity runs to his buddies at Politico, and here's what he says. Listen to this. This is a big story. It's going to be a huge story by Monday. Exclusive. Politico tries to manipulate Hannity comment on Michael Savage. I'll read you what Politico wrote. On Friday, Politico was set to release a puff piece on Michael Savage. Now, let's stop right there. How could it be a puff piece? I don't know them. It's a Democrat liberal website. So how could they release a puff piece on me? In other words, it was too complimentary for the thug, for the Catholic school thug, Sean Hannity. And I'll tell you a little bit more about him as time goes on. Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Six Pack. On Friday, Politico was set to release a puff piece on Michael Savage, the host tapped by Cumulus to replace talker Sean Hannity on his affiliates. In the process of putting together that puff piece, Politico contacted Hannity for comment. After attempting to manipulate Hannity's comments repeatedly, Hannity withdrew them. Now they appear exclusively at Breitbart News. Now, why would he withdraw them exclusively and give them to his friends at Breitbart? Because he wanted to control what they published. He's no different than any of the left-wing hacks ruining the country. And then he goes on to attack Cumulus and all the stations he was thrown off. Then he attacks the owners of the network as the worst operators in the history of radio. Then he attacks me. And then he attacks me by bringing things up that are long forgotten by everybody. And then he goes on and says things that are completely false. And this shows you what's going on, how desperate he is. It shows you how frightened he is. And it shows you how manipulative this thug, this schoolyard bully is. Asked for comment by Politico, Hannity responded by offering a fulsome explanation of his thoughts on Savage. He provided those comments to Politico. Politico then demanded he edit those comments down. That's because they knew that they were false. After Hannity complied, Politico then insisted it would not run the edited comments in full, but would instead pick and choose which portions to report. Hannity, understanding the politically biased editorial process of Politico, declined. And then he goes on to attack me for my age and my intelligence and my education. Isn't that amazing to you? Isn't it amazing to you that a man who poses as a conservative would attack a man who's been around longer than he has, a man of far greater education and intellect than him? Isn't it sad that you see who this man really is? A greedy, low-life schoolyard bully. That's all he ever was. That's all he ever will be. And let me tell you something else. Now I'm going to really dig my heels in. If I didn't have a reason to get up every morning to do my show, I have one now. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. He finally has competition, and he's freaking out of his mind. He never had competition before. Never has he had anyone to compete with. Well, now he does, and he is running scared. And who does he run to? Those shrill gangsters at that website. That used to be a fabulous website before Andrew Breitbart was found dead. It was taken over by a bunch of criminals, in my opinion. In my opinion. Gangsters. Gangsters. Money-grubbing gangsters who have no credibility whatsoever. It's the Savage Nation. You want to talk about this? I don't know if you have anything to say because the Politico article hasn't come out. It will be out tonight. I wish it would come out while I'm on the air in this hour because I'm dying to read it. I don't know what they said. He makes it sound like I work with Politico. I never heard from them before. So I gave them the best I could. I don't know what they were going to write. I didn't call her up the next day and say, oh, by the way, let me see what comments you got of mine. Oh, I don't want those comments. I only want these comments. Oh, no, you can't have those comments unless you have all the comments. Oh, you left this. I wouldn't do that. Only Obama does that. Only Eric Holder does that. And I guess now it's standard operating procedure for those who call themselves conservatives and wrap themselves in the flag. Like, you know, Pawn Hannity. Or shall we call him Pawn Vanity? Because he works for Fox News, you understand why I call him a pawn and why I say vanity, because that's all he's ever had. He was a good-looking boy who went very, very far in his, you know, boyish good looks until eventually the portrait of Dorian Gray started to come out on the air, and people saw him for the older man that he was, and they listen to him hem and ho and ha and who and chech and mich and watch the TV show tonight, and any minute ha and we have Ann Coulter ha who and hey who will be on TV tonight, and don't forget to tune in tonight exactly when the show is over. Ann crossed your legs and this and now we have Ann Coulter every minute, the same show. So they threw him off the air. That's all. Gone. Gone with the wind. Can't he be dignified about it? Everyone has to lose. Once eventually you go up, you go down. The stock market goes up, it goes down. People's careers rise and they fall. What does he think? He's God? He's very much like Obama. Very egomaniacal, very thin-skinned. I heard for years from people at, in the media how desperately afraid he was of me. The minute I started calling him Wallbanger, he went crazy. He knew somebody was finally onto him. People ask why I call him Wallbanger. It's self-evident why I call him Wallbanger. That's all I'm going to say about this feud, this media feud that's going on. My producers just called to get a copy of the Politico article, and they wouldn't even give us an advance copy. He said, we get to see it when the audience does. That's fine with me. I know the rules. Apparently, Hannity wants to control the news. He doesn't want to be part of the news. He wants to control the feed, just like Obama and Holder does. So just remember what I'm saying to you tonight. History is being made tonight in the media. You're finding out that this guy is no different than the people he criticizes every day. He wants to control what people are writing about him. Okay? It's that simple. Do we have any calls on this topic? I really only want to talk about this for a while. I'll do the news if you want. I have plenty of news out there. Plenty of news. 855-407-282. Does anyone want to comment on the Savage Hannity feud or not? We could do that. I mean, if you'd like to do that, or the worst, how about the 15 worst human foods for your dog? I mean, I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm waiting for one call on this topic. I don't want to do anything else. I'm not interested in it. I'm my blood's boiling. Now I'm in a fight and I want to win. What he doesn't understand is I'm very competitive. He may ridicule me for my age, but he doesn't understand something. Age is an advantage when you're in the media and you're in radio, because I'm not working on my good looks. I'm working on my good brain. And all he's got is the flashing lights, the rented suit, and cheap guests who cross their legs. It's that simple. It doesn't matter whether they're man or woman. All they do is cross their legs. Who are the regulars that go on Wallbanger's show? Let's see. I think it's Ann Coulter, and then every other day, it's my good friend, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, the Michelle Bachman of the right. It's my good friend. How are you, buddy? Oh, we'll have him on tonight on television. As soon as the show is over, be sure to tune in. Yes, the great American. What grown man would call himself a great American in an age like this? What grown man would call another man a great American but a fool? Las Vegas, Dennis, on KBET, welcome to the Savage Nation. I know you're calling about the feud. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Well, you are a true American. Let's start with that. So if I got to call one out, it's going to be you. The integrity, the truth you put forth, of course you get the hate from these talking heads, the people that are serving their own interests, working for ratings, and they don't really care anything about us. So just a pleasure to be on the phone for you, with you, and to have you, you.
All right, well, I'm glad for your support. I am. I'm not asking for anything other than you got to understand what's going on here. I finally got under his skin because apparently Politico liked me too much. And he wanted to control what they wrote about him. And they wouldn't let him manipulate the editing process. By the way, I don't even understand how he got a copy of what they printed, because I never asked for them. I wouldn't have the nerve. It's like a reporter interviews you. The standard procedure is you wait and see what they write. You don't call them up and say, let me see what you're going to print, and then threaten them, which is apparently what Wallbanger did. Wallbanger said, no, you can't have it because I don't like what you've said about me. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. It tells you everything you need to know. I never called Politico. I don't even know what they said about me. It could be very negative for all I care. Guess what? The sun also rises. Whatever they say about me, I will still go to sleep tonight, and I will still get up tomorrow morning if God wants me to get up tomorrow morning. My life doesn't live and end by what's on the Drudge Report or Politico or MichaelSavage.com or the Daily News of the New York Times. How can you live for that? Doesn't this man have a life outside of the camera? I don't understand it. Ego, my God, narcissism, my God, he's no different than Obama. If this keeps up, by the way, I think he's going to destroy his own career with this hatred that's coming out of him. His hatred for a man who is far superior to him in every way, is eventually going to bring him down, I'll tell you that. Blake on WBLB in Jacksonville, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael Savage, it's good to hear you during the daytime. I listen to you at night, sir. Thank you for being for the drive time. You are so much above of this. You can put him to bed by the good work you do. And I just urge you just to let him rant and rave or do whatever he wants to or get past it. Just shut him down by all the good things you do on your show, sir.
Well, that's nice, Blake. And let me say this. He's going to destroy himself by doing this because what he's sounding like is what he actually is.
Yeah, but, Neil Board shot himself in the foot by all this nonsense that he goes on the radio. And that doesn't need to happen to anybody else. We need all the people on the same.
Wait, say that again. Who shot themselves in the foot?
Fighting the right people, not the wrong people. Let him do it.
Hold it, sir. I didn't hear you. You said who shot themselves in the foot?
Neil Bortz. All he did was bitch about all sorts of different things. Man, we got stuff to deal with.
He used to attack me as well, Bortz did, and he wound up losing his show. He's a good friend. Isn't he a good friend of the banger?
I don't know.
I think they share a condo somewhere in a retirement community in Florida, or the relatives do. I don't know whether they're near each other or whatever. Thanks for the call. Look, give me a year, and I'll give you America. Of course his audience is larger than mine right now. How could it not be? I just started 3 weeks ago. So that's like a non-starter. You got to give me a year. You got to see my affiliates are going to grow and his are going to fall. It's that simple. No schoolyard bullying. No hateful rhetoric about 30 or 40 years ago. My performance will speak for itself one way or the other. It's offensive, by the way. And it's not positive for the listener. George, last call on this on WABC. Go ahead, please.
Mike, that's, they're afraid of you, Mike. I've listened to the other wall banger for years. I stopped listening to him. I'll tell you something funny. If you remember about 10 years ago when Limbaugh's hearing was going, that's when the giant leprechaun jumped into talk radio. They went after him, too. They pulled.
Who did?
Hannity went after him.
Wallbanger and Leprechaun hate each other. That's a well-known fact. At least that's what I hear. I can't verify it. But the thing about Leprechaun, and I have to say this, is he's an educated man and far more intelligent and dignified than the Wallbanger. I have to say that. And he had the brains to leave radio and focus on what he does best, which is TV. But the Wallbanger is so greedy and stupid that he doesn't even understand when it's time to leave. I mean, when you're losing, you get out. You don't wait until the stock market crashes completely. And let me tell you something. His day has come and gone. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. KSFO.
It's a Savage Nation. It's Friday. You can lighten up because I'm not going to. I'm hunkering down. When I see an adult like this getting so defensive, I got to tell you something. It's embarrassing for him. And I got to ask you a question. Why is Hannity so defensive about Savage? The Politico article should come up, I hope, during this hour. If not, well, I won't be on the air to talk about it. But you got to understand, I was interviewed. I didn't ask them what they're going to write. I always hope that they get the whole thing. I hope they're going to make me look good. But no one asks for a transcript. But apparently the Wallbanger asked for a transcript, fought with them when they insisted on having editorial control. And he said, I'm not going to let you publish any of my words. I'm going to go to my friends at the Breitbart. Wow. So now you look at the most searched terms on Politico, even though the article isn't up yet. Number one, immigration. Number two, Michael Savage. Three, Chris Christie. Four, Huckabee. Five, playbook. Six, trade. Seven, Wendy Davis. Eight, unemployment. Nine, farm bill. And number 10, Wallbanger. You have to ask yourself, why am I number two and Wallbanger's number eight? And there's something else by number 10. If you look at the ratings of this show on the internet, on the, you know, radio on the internet, my show is one, then it's two. It's either Rush or I. At least that's what it's been. It could go down. Wallbanger's way down there. They don't listen to him. The younger people who have some brains, they don't want to hear him anymore. His star has fallen. His ship has sailed. His time has come and gone. And he's got to understand it by lashing out at an older, wiser, better broadcaster than he isn't going to make him look any better or sound any better. I guess he never read Kipling. I guess he didn't read Kipling in the carpenter school, nail gun school. They didn't have any copies of Kipling around. They must have had Playboy. But Kipling wrote, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son.
Savage.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
It is Rock and Roll Fridays, 34 minutes after the hour across the world. I like that. It gives me a sense of megalomania to announce the time across the planet. So there's a big hullabaloo going on now. Politico's about to release an article where they interviewed me, Michael Savage. Then they went across the street to interview the banger, the wall banger, who got thrown off all of the great stations in the country. And he tried to control what they said about him. He withdrew the quotes. Then he went to his friends, the wonderful folks at the website that seems to be just nothing but a PR agency for him and his cronies. And he's saying, I don't know what he's saying. Who knows? It makes no sense. Whatever he's doing, it's not making him look very good. That's all I can say. And you got to ask yourself, why am I talking about it? Because I'm being attacked. And I don't like being attacked. And I'm not going to be attacked without fighting back. And I got to tell you this. Ask yourself why Hannity is so defensive about Savage. There's only one answer. Because he's running scared. Let's take some calls. Peter on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, let me tell you something. Vanity's call screeners are the ones who turned me off to the show and proved to me it's a bunch of bull hockey. Every time I call, the only time I got through, they say, are you a liberal? And I say, hell no. And they got hung up on.
They would hang up on you if you weren't a liberal?
Yes. In other words, the guy was fishing for a controversy. He's trying to manufacture.
Oh, to make him look tough and strong?
Right.
He wanted just a bowling pin to knock down.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that's okay. It's better than having someone to call and say you're a great American. Don't you find it offensive for a grown man to call another grown man you're a great American? It sounds like Art Carney and Jackie Gleason in something in the Honeymooners with a raccoon hat. It's like a special club, the Great Americans Club. Smacks of AARP. 855-400-7282. Doesn't it's like the AARP has a special hat with a raccoon tail on it? Dan in Pittsburgh, welcome to the Savage. I can't see the buttons here. Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation from WJR. What's on your mind?
Yeah, here's what happened. You exposed Sean as a faux conservative. You're like the kid in class that knows all the answers, and he's the jock that peeks on your paper to get a good score for his football.
Well, I'm not going to do this. Maybe I'll do it on Monday or Tuesday, but I want to ask you something. Can you repeat one line Hannity's ever said in 20 years that you remember? Has he ever coined a phrase? Has he ever written a title? Has he ever said anything that's memorable? The answer is, I don't know. I can name 10 things that people know that I've written. I can name 10 titles that they know. I can name 10 phrases that I've created that have now become currency in the political world. And I rest my case on that. He doesn't have any originality. So his time has come and gone. It's that simple. But I wish him luck, by the way, on television, where he belongs. I actually think he doesn't even belong on TV. He should run for office. He's made for the world of politics. He's exactly like them. Hannity would be a perfect politician. He's got all the attributes. Vain, shallow, defensive, thin-skinned, combative. Needs a teleprompter or else he hems and haws, hangs around with them. He's perfect for the political world. And I would vote for him, by the way, because at least, you know, we'd get 40 cents on the dollar with him as a senator. He'd have to hold some of his credibility together. I'd vote for the guy. He should leave the media already. It's time. His time has come and gone. The Hannity ship has sailed. The sun has set. He should be ashamed of himself attacking a man 20 years a senior just because I'm better and I took over the best stations in the country. He should be congratulating me. But what more do you need to know that a guy tries to control an interview? I've never heard of it, by the way. Now, Obama does that. See, here, I want to end with this, and I'm going to end it with this. We keep hearing Obama won't give interviews. We keep hearing Obama uses a teleprompter. We keep hearing Eric Holder goes to a college that's friendly, gives a speech and walks out, won't take calls. And we're offended by it, right? Now we hear that Politico interviews Michael Savage. Savage doesn't call and say, let me see what you wrote about me. Or if not, I'll pull a hissy fit and say you can't publish it. I didn't do that. I didn't even call him. I don't know what they're going to say. It could be horrible. Then they call Vanity, Porn Vanity. And he says to them, do this, do that, run the whole thing, don't run the whole thing, run part of it, run some of it, run all of it. I don't know what. But then he says, I'm taking back all my rights. You can't publish me at all. I'm going to go to my friends. I'm going to go to my friends, one of whom was a lawyer who worked for the former syndicator of Michael Savage. He'll really smear him and make me look good. Now you understand what happened to Breitbart after he died. After Andrew died, look what happened. A bunch of greedy frauds took it over. Yeah, right. Great men. Great Americans, all of them. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to take even one more call on this subject unless I have to. Dave in Reno, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage, you're the best. Sean Hannity's a pretender. He's been a parrot of Rush Limbaugh for years. Even Hush Bimbo has been stealing from your show forever.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say anything because Hush is my lead-in on many stations, so I have to be nice to him. But he's well-known as an idea. Let's say he borrows good ideas. Let's put it that way.
All of the time, Michael. And you're the best. And they're finished. They're not smart enough to deal with you.
See, I wouldn't accuse Rush of taking my ideas because of the terrible deficit he has with hearing. He doesn't actually hear my show. It's written up for him, I think, and he doesn't even know that he's repeating what I said the night before.
Michael, 2 days ago, you talked about the interview in the New Yorker, and the very following morning, Rush was talking about his interview with the New Yorker.
So, well, they didn't actually interview him. He was only mentioned in the New Yorker, so suddenly it became about him. It wasn't really about him. They never profiled him. I'm the only talk show host, actually, that I know of who has ever been profiled in the New Yorker. He was not profiled. He was making it sound like it was all about him. They only mentioned him in passing. One word about him already. It was a whole show. Okay, look, that's the name of the story. This is a very competitive business. Look, if I'm overly combative today, you have to understand something. And I got to say it to you. Many of you love me. Many of you don't know who I am. I've been up and I've been down. I've had my ups and my downs. Right now, I'm on an upswing in my career. And I've learned that when I'm attacked, I'm going to fight back. One thing you learn about me is I will fight. I fought England for 3 straight years. I haven't won. My name is still on the ban list. I'm not allowed to enter England for things I allegedly said. I spent over $1 million fighting a syndicator to get free of a contract that I felt was wrong, and I won. And right now, I'm being attacked with slander, lies, innuendo by a man who doesn't have the capacity to fight on the basis of either talent or intellect. And this is probably not the last you'll hear of it. It may be a few more days of it, and it's a distraction. Frankly, we shouldn't be attacking each other because we have so many real battles to fight. But I'm not going to let this guy who's 20 years younger than me get away with this crap. He's not going to get away with it. And if he thinks that his age is an advantage by saying I'm older, this and that, he doesn't have any idea what he's doing. He has no idea who he's entangling with here. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, the thing to remember is this. Let's look at the big picture. People on the right side of the aisle can at least disagree with each other, even if it gets, let's say, pretty hot and even vicious at times. When have you last seen anyone on the left attacking each other? Never. You say, well, they're smarter. No, they're fraudulent. No one in the media on the left has ever, ever, ever had a war with anyone else on the left because they're all part and parcel of the same Communist Party USA. Symbolically, the CPUSA runs the entire media. This is actually a good thing. It just shows you what I've been telling you is true all over again. I'm not a member of any party. I'm not a member of any group. I'm not a member of any elite club in the media, and I'm a real threat to the status quo, both left and right. And that's exactly why he is going crazy. That's exactly why Hannity went nuts today with his vicious, stupid innuendos that he's putting out. I mean, stupid, just idiotic. No intellect, nothing based on talent, nothing based on substance, just a moron in a schoolyard trying to be a bully like he's been his whole life. KCMO. Big, powerful station, by the way. Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak to you.
What's on your mind tonight?
With you getting on the drive time, I think maybe finally the right can win an election.
Well, I hope people said to me, by the way, Politico asked me, what do you hope to achieve while you're on the air? That's an interesting point you just made. I said, I hope that I can have an influence over the outcome of the election coming next November, because it may be the last real big election that we have, in the sense that if we can retake the Senate, even if it's Republicans who we don't agree with entirely, on some principal issues, we're going to have a safer, saner country. And that's why I am so hopeful that I can have an effect on the nation in that regard in drive time. And I believe that's why Hannity is very defensive. Hey, look, guys, let's be clear. A fact is a fact. He was taken off 52 Cumulus stations. Everybody knows that these are the best stations in the country in terms of size and power. It doesn't mean the others aren't wonderful. Some of them are wonderful, but they're not the crown jewels that he once had. And he's very angry, and he's striking out not only at me, but at the owners of the network. He's saying things that any sane man would never... Let me say this right now. I want to show you how uncontrolled he is and how unthoughtful he is and the things he's saying, how stupid they are. When you attack the owners and operators of a network as powerful as Cumulus, what do you think the owners and operators of Clear Channel Premier are thinking? If he's willing to attack these guys who he fed off for so many years, what is he going to say about the owners of Clear Channel and Premier a few years down the line? This man is out of control, and he's showing himself to be unreliable and not credible. He's lost his credibility entirely. He has no control whatsoever. I don't care if he goes to the State of the Union. I don't care if he interviews Obama. He's no different than the people he criticizes. If he wants to control the interview in Politico and they won't let him, and then he screams like a little kid, like a little girl, I'm taking my words away. You can't have them. Nya, 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 nya. I'm taking my toys away. You can't have my words. I'm so important. I'm showing that. I'm going to go over to Breitbart because I know all of them. They're easy. They'll do anything I want. Well, that's what he just did. So let the chips fall where they may. Just, you know, I keep saying, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Why don't you give me 15 months and let's see what happens? Of course his audience is bigger than mine now. I just started all over again. How could it not be bigger? I'm shocked to find out that he says I have only 3.5 million listeners now. I'm thrilled. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. First of all, those numbers are very fuzzy. No one actually knows how many people listen. There's no meter. But if he says I have 3.5 million, that's great for a show that started 3 weeks ago. How many of you out there would like to have an audience of 3.5 million people a week? I would. That's great. That's a phenomenally large audience. I'm very honored. I'm glad he did the research for me. Abigail, KCMO, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to I've been listening to you, and I'm so glad you're back here in Kansas City. And I just wanted to say that I know exactly what you mean. When somebody says something that is incorrect about me or offends me, I'm an Aries. I'm the nicest person on the planet, but offend me or attack me, and I will not let go until I set the record right.
That's right. So that's correct.
Good for you.
That is correct. I'm an immigrant's son. I started not with a silver spoon in my mouth, but a lead spoon. And I'm not going to let anybody choke me on the spoon that's in my mouth right now. And this man is saying things that are absolutely invented because he has nothing to fight with that's of any substance.
Sad.
It's sad, actually, when you see a career melting down like that, Abigail. Let me send you trickle-down tyranny. I'm in a good mood today. I would send you trickle-up poverty. I don't think there are any more copies. Would you like a novel, Abuse of Power? Maybe that's a better. Do you like novels or nonfiction? Give her a book. What's the difference? If you got to read your Kipling. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. I love that poem. That's a beautiful poem, and it really applies to me in times like this when I'm under great stress and being roundly attacked, viciously attacked by a shill like him. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. KSFO, my hometown of San Fran. I'll even say Cisco tonight. I'm in a good mood. I love my hometown. Pat on KSFO. KSFO in my hometown of, I can't even say the correct way. I got to slow down. San Francisco. Pat, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, when I'm at work, I can't get your station, so I was listening to the Wallbanger. And he said several things about you, about swimming naked in Fiji with Ginsburg.
Let's stop with that. I mean, what does that say to you? I know that photograph. I was swimming in a pond in the woods while I was collecting plants with 50 Fijians, and Allen Ginsberg was there, and so was Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And so the snapshot was cropped to show me in the water with the pervert. And what, all the Fijians were not in the picture, so it means they weren't there?
The people working for you are working behind the scenes to stab you in the back because nobody works for you likes you. You should listen to it. It was yesterday at 1...
Oh, who cares what he says? That's so childish. Who cares about that? By the way, that slander about me and Ginsberg swimming in the Fiji Islands, do you know who originally posted that lie? That was none other than Media Matters, an organization that is funded by George Soros. What does that tell you about Sean Hannity, that he would take a Media Matters smear that's untrue and use it as though it's the gospel? How could you believe a word this man says about anything to do with Obama? He has no credibility whatsoever. I never went back and said, Sean Hannity said this, Sean Hannity did that, Sean Hannity was caught outside a woman's bedroom window. I never said any of those things. Who would make a statement like that? It's stupid.
He also made a big deal about you giving money to Jerry Brown, which you told us about.
That's right, I did give money to Jerry Brown, so what? I liked that Jerry Brown, at the time, funded a military academy in Oakland. I thought that was a great thing for him to do. So what, I shouldn't fund anybody who does anything right? He actually did something at that time that no Republican ever had done. So I reacted to it properly.
Humor, too, he said.
All right, that's all. Okay with what he says. As long as he gets the name right, Savage, S-A-V-A-G-E. KSFO, Lauren, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away. You got the last word on the program tonight.
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to let you know that your age is to your benefit. I'm 25 years old. I heard about you from my mother-in-law and father-in-law who listened to you years and years ago, and I just wish you the best, and I know that your age is to your benefit. So,
by the way, most cultures revere older people who have wisdom. Apparently, in the bullying schoolyard of whatever school he went to, whatever horrible school he went to, he hates the his elders. What a disgrace he's become.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.